Good morning. Hope everyone is doing well. We have several visitors with us today. We're thankful for your presence. Have the Stevenses from Big Sandy and the Grants from Leonard, Texas, and some other visitors that I see. Vicki Shepherd visiting with Margaret. And I want to thank Margaret for such a wonderful Christmas party that we had yesterday afternoon, and Vicki did all the decorations for that, and she's just a wonderful decorator, and we had a great time. Thank you very much for that. I don't know how foggy it was here, but when I left Tyler this morning, it was really, really foggy. You could barely see in front of yourself, and there were a bunch of crazy people out on the road. Of course, I wasn't one of them, but yeah. But there were a bunch of crazy people out there. It's amazing to me how many people don't turn their lights on whenever it's foggy. And I don't know how they anticipate that you can see them, but they don't do that. If you do that, then repent and turn your lights on next time. And I also had a 18-wheeler pull out in front of me. I'm sure he didn't see me, but I was thankful I was able to stop in time. I didn't hit him. So we need to be careful in times like that. This morning, my subject is waiting faithfully. Waiting faithfully. What do you remember about Abraham Lincoln? You probably remember that he was a tall and lanky man who grew up in poverty and eventually became president of the United States. But in some ways, he was no different from you and me. He had many encouraging moments in life, but he also had many discouraging moments. And I want to share just some of those memorable moments that Lincoln had in his life. First of all, in 1809, he was born in a log cabin in Kentucky. Had the privilege of seeing that a number of years ago. In 1812, his brother, Thomas, died. In 1818, when he was only 8 years old, his mother died. In 1819, his father remarried a wonderful woman by the name of Sarah. In 1823, his married sister, Sarah, died while giving birth to a child. In 1832, the village store that he worked for went out of business. In 1833, he and a partner started their own store, but it went out of business and left them heavily in debt. In 1834, he was elected to the Illinois General Assembly. And in 1835, his former store partner died, leaving Lincoln responsible for that large debt that they had. In 1835, his 19-year-old sweetheart, Ann Rutledge, died. In 1836, he was reelected to the Illinois General Assembly, but he also had a nervous breakdown. In 1837, he asked Mary Owen to marry him, but she declined. In 1841, he was engaged to Mary Todd, but he broke off the engagement, but then married her in 1842. In 1843, he made an unsuccessful run for the U.S. Congress, and in 1846, he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. In 1850, I've got to think, is that hard to read? Okay. In 1850, his third son, Edward, died. In 1851, his father died. In 1853, his fourth son, Todd, was born. And in 1855, he ran for the U.S. Senate and lost. And then in 1859, he again ran for the U.S. Senate, and he lost a second time. In 1860, he was the first Republican elected as president of the United States. He was the 16th president. And in 1861, the Civil War began. In 1862, his son Willie died, and his wife never was the same emotionally. In 1863, he delivered the Emancipation Proclamation and the Gettysburg Address. And in 1864, he was reelected as President of the United States. In 1865, he was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. A lot of things happened in those 50-something years of his life, some good, some bad. Just the way it is with you and me. Now, I think many people would have been discouraged with all the setbacks that Lincoln had in his life. But as many Christians know, we can never let Satan's tool of discouragement keep us from faithfully waiting on the Lord to deliver us from our trials, from our sins, and from this temporary life on earth. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At the funeral of Abraham Lincoln, it was said that he was a man who would do what was right regardless of the consequences. I would love for that to be said about me at the end of my life, and you probably would love for that to be said about you at the end of your life. No matter what difficulties may confront you in this life, you must wait patiently and faithfully for God to work out His will in your life. Let's look at a passage in Luke, the second chapter, beginning in verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Can you imagine the surprise that the young virgin girl Mary felt when the angel of the Lord informed her that she was going to give birth to the very Son of God? Can you imagine the surprise that her fiance, Joseph, felt when he was told that Mary was going to have a baby, and yet she was still going to remain a virgin for him? And there had to be a multitude of surprised people when Joseph and Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth told their friends and relatives what was going to occur. But there was one man to whom this news was no surprise. And his name, of course, as we read, was Simeon. According to the law of Moses, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. And he was named Jesus just as the angel had instructed in Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. The mother of a son, and of course that would include Mary, was considered by the law of Moses to be unclean for 40 days after his birth. And Joseph and Mary did everything in compliance with the law of the Lord. And after the 40 days of purification, baby Jesus was taken to the temple to be dedicated as their firstborn son to Jehovah, as described in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. You can see that every prophecy concerning the Messiah and every command pertaining to him was fulfilled in minutest detail. And it was no accident that Simeon was present at the women's court outside the temple at the exact same time that Joseph and Mary took their baby, Jesus, there. Scripture does not reveal a great deal to us about this man named Simeon. As we read, he was a righteous man. He was devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation is taken from the root word parakaleo. You may be fairly familiar with that word. It is a word that means solace, or comfort, or imploration. It is a word that was used to describe the Holy Spirit as the comforter, the one who would comfort the apostles after Jesus left them after he was resurrected. But he was at the right place at the right time, and he picked out the right baby as the Lord's Christ. And this was because it had previously been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon then broke out in praise to God. How many years had he waited on the fulfillment of God's promise? How many times did he wonder if God was going to do what he said that he would do? Even as there are times in our lives that we wonder, is God going to fulfill the promises that he has given to us? How many times did Simeon second guess himself and question whether it was really God's Spirit who told him that he would see the Christ child before he would die? Simeon made several prophecies concerning the Christ. And after he finally saw the Christ, He knew that he had faithfully waited on God, and God did not disappoint him. In this very same context, we are also introduced to a prophetess named Anna. She was very old. The text is somewhat unclear. Was she 84 years old, or had she been a widow for 84 years? If she had been a widow for 84 years, she was very old. Listen to what the text does say, however. She never left the temple. She worshiped night and day. She fasted and prayed. And she came up to them, that would be Joseph and Mary and Simeon and the baby Jesus, and she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child who would redeem Jerusalem. What tremendous faith she had. Whether it had been 60 plus years or 84 years, she had been waiting on the Redeemer for a long, long time. And she never quit. She never lost faith. She never quit going to the temple. And she patiently and faithfully waited on God. And again, God did not disappoint her. The faithful examples of Simeon and Anna are recorded in Scripture for a purpose. The Lord knew that there would be times when we would grow weary. He knew that there would be times when we would be discouraged. He knew there would be times when we would wonder if he was really going to return, if he was really going to fulfill all the promises that he had given. Again, going back to Abraham Lincoln, he once said, "I am not bound to win, but I am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound to live by the light that I have. I must stand with anybody that stands right, stand with him while he is right, and part with him when he goes wrong." I can remember, and I would imagine that all of us can remember, when we were small children, when we thought we were going to just die if Christmas didn't come. If we couldn't know what was under the tree for us because the packages were covered. I don't know how you did when you were a child. I would shake all the packages and try to figure out what it was in those packages. And my one year, my oldest sister, she played a trick on me, and she had a package there, and I could not figure out what was there for anything. And on Christmas morning, I opened that package, and I had to open another box, and then another box, and then another box. And finally, I opened it, and it was a rock. She had done that just because I would always figure out what was under the tree, and she didn't want me figuring that one out. And I didn't. I learned a lesson there. Think of that anticipation. Think of that waiting that we had to do. There are times that we have to wait on God. Think about Abraham, Sarah. They had to wait on 25 years before God fulfilled his promise. Think of others in the Bible that had to wait for many years for God to fulfill the promise. Think of Anna, think of Simeon, think of others. Think of some who died not seeing the fulfillment of the promise that God had given to them, such as Abraham. You think of these and you wonder sometimes, is God really going to carry through? And yet you know in your faith, you know that he will, but you just wonder, why not today? Why not tomorrow? Why not a week from now? Why do I have to wait so long? And I can't give you the answer to that. Only God knows the answer to that. But I can show you some verses that show us that we must wait. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. In Psalm 33, verse 20 through 21, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. In Psalm 37, in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. In Psalm 38, in verse 15, I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. In Psalm 119, verse 166, I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and I follow your commands. In Psalm 130, and verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. There are many others. But I think that is sufficient to show each and every one of us that there are going to be some things in our lives for which we must wait. And we may not know the answer to these things until we're in heaven. I hear a lot of people say, I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to ask God about this, or I want to ask God about that. And we may do that. I don't know. None of us know. But I have a feeling that when we're in heaven, those things aren't going to matter to us at all. All we are going to want to do is bring praise and glory to God night and day, forever and ever. The real question for you and me today is, are you waiting faithfully on God? Wait on him. Be patient with God. Know that he carries out every promise that he makes, and you will rejoice in the Lord. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I hope that you will take this opportunity to do so. If we can help you in any way, whether it is to baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, or whether it is to pray for you and encourage you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.